Thanks to the Nemo band. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. It's really encouraging to see people using their gifts and talents to serve the church. So thanks. Not a wobbly pulpit, sorry. Hey, let's go back to Matthew chapter... No, it's all right, I'm fine. Matthew chapter 8. Now, I want a wad of paper, actually, if you wonder what I'm looking for. Is that all right? I'm going to put it on the floor, is that okay? It's my OCD coming out. wobbly pulpit. Want to talk today about Jesus and your health. Jesus and your health, because, you know, last week Ian talked about how so many people have been suffering sickness, and we heard again today, we had a big long list, and we didn't even get to the end of our list, which was Kerry in hospital in Ahitereria. She's still there, still in Melbourne, still in the hospital. So all these people who are in... you know, having problems and sickness, and you know, whether it's just a cold, whether it's the flu, whether it's just not feeling 100%, whether it's stomach bugs, then there are those of us who've sort of got worse and needed antibiotics, or even, you know, like Dory, or even had to go into hospital, like Sophie, or ended up with more serious illnesses, chest infections, or laryngitis, like Jen. Some of you have got ongoing medical conditions that you need regular hospital visits with. My wife has that. We were talking to a lovely specialist lady on Friday. Or you may just have something that causes you ongoing pain or discomfort, or there's anxiety. You know, there are conditions, medical conditions, that some of us have that you can't actually see. And I'm talking about psychological, neurological conditions, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, depression, ongoing, you know, more serious types of illnesses which you need medication for. Or maybe you have had to have some surgery this year, or you're waiting for surgery. You heard about Timothy there in Australia. He's going to have surgery, serious surgery on his head. Waiting for some sort of procedure, waiting for an appointment with a specialist. And there's so many things that we can have, or waiting for test results. And so dealing with all that is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult for yourself, difficult when you've got family members, loved ones who are going through things. It's also can be difficult for us as Christians. How do we deal with these things? How do we think about health issues and our faith as Christians? What does this mean? Because I don't know if you're like me, but you might have turned on the TV really early in the morning and there's a guy there, probably might be wearing a white suit, and he will be saying something like, you know, God is going to heal you of all your sicknesses, all your diseases, all of your health problems. You've just got to have faith. And if you've got enough faith, then God will take care of that, because God has promised. And if you're really a Christian and Jesus is really Jesus, just as he's forgiven your sins, so he will also take away all of your sickness and all your health problems. Sometimes you might have heard that. You might believe that. You might think that this morning, and you might be struggling with that. Why hasn't Jesus done that for me? I know of people who have chronic conditions. Chronic conditions are those health issues that just go on and on. And there's nothing you can really do with it. You just got to manage it. And they have visited doctors and specialists and had this and that and the next thing done. And they get other Christians come along to them and say, hey, I want to pray for you. And they go, that's great, pray for me. And they pray for that person. And then they're not healed. And then the question comes back to them is like, you don't have enough faith? Or is there something going on in your life, something wrong, something that some sin that you have done that you haven't been healed or you're not made better? I know people, I've met people who've, and I know friends who've had to struggle through that from well-meaning Christian friends. See, the reality is this. If you're a Christian today, you will probably have to deal with sickness in your life, and eventually you'll get sick, and eventually you'll die. And that's a reality, and we can't avoid that. So how do we deal with that? What does Jesus have to say, and what is the ministry of and the power of the Lord Jesus in our life mean for this? Well, I wanted us to look at that passage in Matthew, because Jesus, in this passage, is dealing with sick people. This is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Gospel of Matthew, but the Gospel of Matthew is a gospel that deals with Jesus as the King, the Messiah who comes. And everything he does is pointing to him as the King, the Messiah, the one that God has sent. And in these chapters 8 and 9, you have these reports of all these healings that Jesus does. And I don't know, Ian was reading before from Mark, and often in the Gospels you will read about healing, you will read about Jesus dealing with sick people. And in chapters 8 and 9, you've got these numerous reports of Jesus healing people. And they are all people that really, Jesus, because of his status as a rabbi, as a teacher, shouldn't have had any contact with. So first of all, you have the leper, all right? So now imagine if you were a Pharisee, one of the temple leaders, one of the religious leaders, one of the experts in the law of God, looking at Jesus. Jesus, first of all, meets a leper. Now, lepers were considered unclean, right? And then he meets the centurion. Now, that centurion, he would have been a non-Jew. What's the word for a non-Jew? Gentile. He was a Gentile. And really religious, strictly religious Jews didn't have any association with Gentiles. And then the next person he comes across is Peter's mother-in-law. And again, if you were a Pharisee, and it was all right because the top dog Pharisees were all blokes, you really considered women to be your spiritual inferiors, okay? So Jesus encounters these three people, and the leper comes to him, and the leper says, "Lord, if you can heal me." And Jesus, what does he do? He just blows their minds. He reaches out and touches the leper, all right? He touches the leper. First rule of lepers, don't touch them. Don't touch them. You know, in some countries of the world, they have what they call leper colonies, people who get leprosy, because it's a real illness and people still get it, and we understand a lot more about it today, but people who got leprosy, they got taken and they got put in what they call leper colonies. So nobody would go near them and you didn't get any contact with them. So Jesus touches the leper. When he meets centurion, this captain in the Roman army, he speaks to him. And he does this thing. He actually says, this guy comes to him and says, "Lord, if you can heal my servant." And Jesus says, "Oh, I'll come to your house." And he says, "No, you don't even need to come to my house, because I'm a captain and I'm in charge of people. And I just give orders and I say, hey, you go and do that. You go there, you go there," and they all do it. And he says, "I know you can just command from a distance and it will happen. You're a captain. You're a captain of the Lord's hosts. You're the Lord. You can command and it will be done." And he says, "You just need to command, Jesus, and it will be done." And Jesus says, "I haven't seen such great faith. Not even in all of Israel." These Pharisees would have been spewing. You imagine, they just go, "This Gentile, he's got greater faith than any of you guys. You experts in the law. You great leaders in the church. This Gentile guy, he's got more faith than all of you put together." And then he comes into the house, and the mother-in-law, she's there lying on the bed, probably on the couch, possibly just a one-room house or a two-room house, maybe upstairs, downstairs, and she's on the couch there. She's got this fever, and he goes and he touches her, and she's healed. So now this thing with the mother-in-law, she's sick, she's in bed, she's had a fever. Now probably all of us here have had a fever at some time. I mean, you may have had, I remember as about a four-year-old, I still remember having mumps, and I remember that fever even now. That was a severe fever. And we've all probably had fevers, and when we get a fever, you go to bed, you take some paracetamol, you make sure you keep up your fluids, keep drinking, and you go to bed and you're pretty confident that, oh, this will pass and I'll get better, and in a couple of days' time, or I'll feel better, the fever will go. But in many parts of the world today, and in the time of Jesus, if you got a fever and you were in bed, you were sick with a fever in bed, you would be saying to yourself, this could be it. This could be it. This fever may not pass. This may be the last fever I ever have, and I may not come out of my bed. So it was serious. So Jesus comes into the home where Peter's mother-in-law is. Very important principle being taught there, love for our mothers-in-law. I don't believe it's in the Bible for that, but I love my mother-in-law. She's awesome. But anyway, he comes into this house, and it's Peter's mother-in-law there, and he addresses her. He goes to her. Now, others hear about this incident. He goes to her, and he touches her hand. She gets out of bed. She feels so much better so quickly. She gets out of bed and serves Jesus, likely provides a meal for him. And by the way, that wasn't just going to the cupboard and getting out some instant noodles and putting them in a pot and cooking them. That would have been probably grinding some wheat with a big heavy millstone, grind, 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 wheat, you know, grind, 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 flour, getting the flour, getting the oil, kneading it, kneading it, kneading it. If you've ever seen people make bread by hand, there's a lot of mahi that goes into that, a lot of hard work. She would have made all this ground, made the bread, you know, put it in the oven, light the fire, you know, do all this, a lot of work involved. That's how much better she felt about it. So Jesus, he has no rest for the rest of that night. Verse 16, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all those who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Quoting this great passage from Isaiah chapter 53. And so what Matthew says is that what Jesus does there is a fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy. Okay, he says this is a fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy about what the Messiah, God's anointed king, what he would do, the signs that would identify him, that he will take our illnesses, that he will bear our diseases. And what is fascinating is that Matthew takes that prophecy and uses that, and rather than saying that he's going to cure them all, he says he takes them and bears them and carries them. And it's as if Matthew is dealing with those of us who are sitting there and going, okay, Jesus heals the leper. Leprosy, serious illness. Heals that leprosy. Heals the servant of the centurion from a distance. Heals Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed, sick, potentially on her last legs. And it's as if and then all these other people come. And he heals them, and even the demonized, the demon-possessed, forces the demons out. And it's as if Matthew says, okay, you've seen all that, you've heard all that. Let me tell you what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to take our illnesses. He's going to bear our diseases. He's going to carry them. He's going to take them. He's going to take our illnesses. He's going to carry. He's going to bear our diseases. And it's almost as if Matthew is saying to you and I, who have been sick and have dealt with sickness and illnesses and diseases, and we've prayed and nothing has happened. He's almost as if he's saying, this is really what you need to take out of this. This is really what you need to understand about what Jesus will do in your life. So here's just some observations. The first one is this. Jesus, the first thing I take out of this passage is Jesus sees your sickness. Jesus sees your sickness. And I find that a very comforting thing. Jesus comes to the house of Peter, and his mother-in-law is there. And he comes into the house, and he sees the mother-in-law. Now, unlike the leper, how did he see the leper? Well, the leper, what? He came to Jesus, and he spoke to Jesus, and he said, Lord, he said, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will, verse 2, you can make me clean. And then the centurion came to Jesus and said, asked him, didn't he? He approached him and he said, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. He approached Jesus. But when Jesus came into Peter's home, Matthew tells us, he doesn't tell us that anybody came to Jesus and said, Lord, she's sick. Now, Mark and Luke do mention that others spoke to him on her behalf. But Matthew draws our attention to this, that Jesus saw her. He recognized her. He saw her lying there in her sickness and in her need. So I don't know, we don't know where she was. Maybe she was on the couch. Maybe she was in a bed in another room. But the thing to notice is that she herself didn't ask Jesus for anything. She didn't approach him. She didn't come up to him and say, I'm sick with a fever, can you help me? Possibly she was even delirious, she couldn't. But Jesus saw her. And I think that I want to highlight that because I think it's really encouraging us for us to notice that, because when you and I get sick, now, people joke about the old man flu, you know, it's just the regular, all you ladies know, when your husband gets sick, he goes, oh, I'm really sick, I've got the flu, and it's just a cold. But he's a bloke, and he's got the cold, and he thinks he's dying. You know, I always remember my mum, one of the things I always remember about my mum growing up is that, like, she never seemed to be sick and in bed. I don't remember my mum ever being in bed, because with 8 kids, she couldn't afford to ever go to bed, probably, you know. But I remember my father being in bed. We've got all sorts of funny stories about my father being in bed. One of them involves Roddy, eh, Roddy? Roddy knows that story. With a bit of rope in the bed head. Hey, Roddy. It's probably because Mum was in hospital having another baby. So, when you get sick, we feel sorry for ourselves, and we can feel neglected. You know, what do you got to do when you're sick? You have to stay at home. You have to stay in bed. You have to keep away from others. Nobody else sees you, and you've probably all had that experience of lying in bed, and you hear all the rest of the family doing their thing, and people coming over, and people laughing, and eating, and doing stuff, and they're all feeling well, and you're lying in bed, and you're feeling crook, and it's like, oh, woe is me, nobody knows I'm here, and oh, I wish somebody would come and bring me a glass of water, or I need something, or everybody's forgotten about me. And maybe you've got a fever and you're sort of drifting in and out of sleep, and that feeling of suffering, or maybe it's that you are, you're feeling down and depressed and ill. I was reading, actually on Thursday in the New Zealand Herald, there was an article, some of you may have seen that, about people suffering from depressive illnesses. And there were a couple of high-profile cases. A coroner referred them of people who had taken their own lives because they were suffering depression. And one of the points of that article was this. There was nobody around who was there to take care of these people, to see how serious they were, that they needed help and they didn't get the help. And the families are saying to the government and the health system, please help us help our family so that this doesn't happen again. because these people felt alone. They felt they had no one to go to. Matthew tells us Jesus sees your sickness. Jesus sees your sickness. When he came into Peter's house, we're not told Jesus saw all the food, or he saw all the people there, or he saw the paintings on the wall, or he saw the animals or the pets or anything like that. He saw Peter's mother-in-law sick. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He noticed that. Jesus noticed that. And he notices the same thing about us. I read before from Psalm 103, and I'll just see if I can quickly find that again, because I want to read verse 14. If you get there before me, read it. I'm already there. He knows our frame. Listen to this. This is Psalm 103, verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That's a great comfort, isn't it? He knows your frame. He knows your body. He knows your makeup. He knows your mindset. He knows where your brain is. He knows where your emotions are. He knows where you're at physically. And he remembers that you are dust, meaning he remembers that you are frail, that you are made out of dust, and you're going to return to dust one day. And he understands that, and he sees that, and he doesn't expect you to be Superman or Wonder Woman or whatever. He recognizes that. Jesus sees that. And, one of the lies of Satan is this. God doesn't see you. He doesn't care about you. You're away. You're in a dark place. He doesn't even know where you are. He's forgotten about you. You don't matter. There's more important people. God is taking more important people, like presidents and all that sort of stuff. But Jesus sees you. You know, it's one of the few times, I should have checked that. I had a very busy week, but when we read about Peter's mother-in-law, you know, we don't read about her doing great things and being out there and preaching like the Apostle Peter was or stuff like that, but we know this, that Jesus knew about her. He knew exactly where she was, and he knew exactly what her needs were. Jesus sees your sickness. The other thing, though, that comes out of this is that Jesus heals your sickness. So not only does he know our sickness, but he heals it. He went to this lady, he touched her hand, he spoke to her, her fever left her, she was able to get up and serve. But the healing that happens, we need to notice there's three things about this healing, God comes and heals us. There is the miraculous healing. There is the miraculous healing that happens. And I've seen that, and I'm sure you've seen that. Think of a friend of ours, a lady in the church in Christchurch. This lady had Parkinson's. She went to a doctor. A doctor says, "You've got this lymphoma, instead of cancer." She was starting to get lumps on her body. She had this big lump on her head. We called the church to prayer, and we prayed for her. And she went back to the specialist, and he said, "That's amazing." He said, "You know, that lump on your head's gone. That big lump on your head is gone." He said, "I can't explain that." And we rejoiced in the Lord, and we gave thanks for her. But she did eventually die. She died from Parkinson's disease, because she had the Parkinson's as well. And so there is no doubt in my mind that the Lord does at times miraculously heal. But I think there's also a lot of fakery and a lot of manipulation that goes on in our churches with regard to that. I think people feel that we need to honor God so much, and we say we want to see people healed and cured of their illnesses, and then we cross the line and we start to fake it. And some of you may have heard of a lady called Joni Erickson Tada. She was about 17. She jumped off a diving board into a swimming pool and snapped a couple of vertebrae in her neck. she ends up in lying, next thing she knows, she's lying in a hospital bed, unable to move her arms and her legs because she's just severed her spinal cord, damaged it irreparably. And she's facing up to the reality that this is now her life. And she has gone on to be a wonderful ambassador for Christ and for those who are disabled. And she writes about going to churches where they're having big healing meetings for all the sick people. And she makes, one of the comments she made was this. She said, it's amazing. She said, when you were in these big healing meetings, the spotlight was always shining on the other side of the room from where the wheelchairs were. And that was, you know, you imagine the hurt that that would cause her. Here you go, you say, somebody says, come along, God is going to heal you. And you come along in your wheelchair, and somebody who's got the spotlight, because the man in the white suit is going around, and it doesn't even shine where you are, because people don't want to know. So there's a lot of fakery that goes on with that kind of stuff, that that we need to face up to the reality of it, which doesn't change the fact, though, that God does. He can and he does miraculously heal. But he also, the second thing, though, is he also, the ordinary means he uses is medicine. And that is why, as Christians, we never stop taking our medicine. When the doctor says to us, here's the medicine, this is the illness we have diagnosed, that this is the medication you need to take, you need to take that. And in our day and age, we are blessed with that. In our society, we have access to all these things, and God has given us these means. And so we can get stitched up when we cut our hand or cut our finger or have a car accident, or when we've got the flu, or when we've got something, we can get a vaccination or antibiotics or whatever it is. But then there's a third part of the healing, though. Jesus heals our sickness. He can heal us miraculously. He heals us. He can heal us using medicine. But also, ultimately, he heals us by glorifying. By glorifying us. And what I mean is this, that at the end of the day, we all die. And what happens when we die? We immediately, the Bible tells us, we immediately pass into the presence of God, into glory. And there we are glorified, in the presence of God. And there is no more sickness. There is no more pain. There is no more suffering. And you may have lived your entire life with some kind of serious, debilitating sickness, and it hasn't been healed through prayer, it hasn't been healed through medication, but now you are perfected. Now you are healed. Now you are free from all of this. And I direct your attention to one of the last passages in the Bible, Revelation 21 and verse 4. Where this is the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 23, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And that's the ultimate healing. That's the only, that's the ultimate, the best, the only lasting healing that we really want to have, and that God ultimately promises his people. But this passage here, the third thing, whether or not he heals you, he will carry you. Notice this quote from Isaiah. Why does Matthew use this passage from Isaiah? He could have used Psalm 103, verse 3, who heals all your diseases. He could have quoted that in there, couldn't he? Because we're told that Jesus was busy healing people and busy casting demons out of people, and all of those people who came to Jesus received some sort of healing. And he could have quoted Psalm 103, verse 3. He heals all of your diseases. But Matthew didn't do that. Matthew quoted that passage from Isaiah, which says, this was to fulfill, was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Instead, he chooses that passage which speaks of the Messiah. Now, who is the Messiah? This is God's chosen king who is sent to rescue his people. He chooses a passage that speaks about the Messiah carrying, taking, bearing, taking upon himself our illness and our diseases. We know this about Jesus, didn't he? He took our sins on the cross and he bore them on the cross. Why? To pay for them. He took your sin and my sin on the cross, carried it on the cross to pay for it. Are you a Christian today? If you're a Christian today, did Jesus take your sin upon the cross? Did he? Okay. He also took... let me ask you another question, though. Do you still do wrong things? Do you still sin? Do you still struggle with sin? Yes, you do. Every Christian does. But Jesus took our sin and bore it on the cross. Are you forgiven for your sins? Yes, you are. But do you still struggle with sin? Yes, you do. And so it is with our illness and with our diseases. Isaiah tells us he bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases, our pain, our depression. And he bore them on the cross. We still struggle with them, but it promises us that just with our sin, you won't have to deal with it any longer. Jesus has taken it, and he has dealt with it once and for all, so that when you pass into the presence of God, the promise is there that you're not going to die, and you're not going to pass into the presence of God, and God is not going to say to you, "Now tell me about all these sins that you have done. What are you going to, can you tell me about that time you lost your temper and threw that vase across the room and at your husband and it just missed and smashed against the wall? Or can you tell me about that time you shouted at your wife those things, those nasty words? Can you tell me about that?" He's not going to say that to you, is he? Because those things have been taken away, as we were reading, as far as the east is from the west. And it's the same with your sicknesses and your illnesses. It's not going to be there anymore. You won't need a thermometer in heaven. You're not going to need antibiotics in heaven. You're not going to need any doctors. Sorry, doctors and nurses. No more work. These things are going to be gone. But in the meantime, he carries you, and he wants you to know that he knows your frame. He knows your dust condition. Not only he knows that you're sinful and struggle with sin, but he also knows that you are feeble and frail. And Jesus knows this, of course, because in his humanity he experienced that. You know, one of the things we're not told about Jesus is that he ever got sick. It's interesting that. But neither are we told about Jesus is that he laughed. So are we to conclude that Jesus never laughed? Now, I don't know about this. I'd have to think about this before. But we're not told that Jesus ever got sick. But it doesn't mean necessarily that he never got sick. We know he got tired. And we know he was hungry. He got hungry and tired. And we know that he had to go away by himself to have time out from away from all the crowds and all the people. He needed that. Jesus understands. He knows. He's borne it. He carried it in his lifetime. He bore these things in his body. And so he carries you, brother or sister, with your sickness, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. He carries those things. He bears them and he bore them in his body. And I think it's important for us to remember that about Jesus, because I know some Christians who kind of almost feel a little bit guilty about being sick. Maybe I'm not a real Christian. Maybe I'm not, don't have enough faith. Maybe God doesn't love me enough because I get sick. Maybe I'm not trusting him. Maybe I'm not stepping out in the spirit enough. Well, you don't need to feel guilty anymore, because Jesus has carried those sins. He's carried your sins. He's carried your sickness. He's borne your diseases. And you don't need to feel guilt. You don't need to feel that you're somehow less of a Christian. And you could, it also means this, is that you can look forward to a day. You can look forward to a time when sickness and pain and fever and hospitals and ambulances and needles and antibiotics and bedpans and catheters and hospital food, all of those things, they're all in the past. All something that has been left behind. And instead, you look forward to a time when you return to Eden, to the garden. Have you noticed that about the Bible? The Bible begins with a garden, and then sin comes and we're out of the garden. You go right, fast forward right to the end of the Bible, and what? We're back in the garden. The tree of life is there. And the tree of life bears fruit, which is what? For the healing of the nations. And you'll be there, and you'll be able to pick that fruit, and you'll be able to take that fruit. And so there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more diseases, no more pain, no more suffering, no more frailty, no more rheumatism, no more achy hip joints, no more arthritis, no more lower back pain, no more headaches, no more toothaches, okay? No more glasses or contact lenses, no more hearing aids, okay? I don't know about hair loss, I have to think about that one. But these things are gone. Because Jesus, we are told, he took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. He sees your sickness. He brings healing to you one way or another. And whether or not he heals you now or heals you later, he carries your sicknesses and bears your diseases. Jesus wants you to know that. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord and Almighty God, you are the great physician, and you heal your people, and you bring restoration, and you bring life, and you bring freedom. You bring freedom from sickness and pain, and freedom from death. And Lord, while we know that we may still have to struggle with these things in this life, and many of us are struggling right now with sickness and diseases, yet it gives us really great joy and hope that our future is a future without sickness and without pain and without disease. Because you, Lord Jesus, you have taken our illnesses and you have borne our diseases. You have dealt with these. And so we rejoice in that. We trust in you, the living God, who not only takes our sins and takes our diseases, but has also taken our sin and has borne it to the cross. And they are paid for it so that we will be freed from the guilt and the punishment due to us for our sins. And so we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.